Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast with Brendan Lowe, episode number 20. I'm sick, so I can't do a clever intro.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome back to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, and this is episode 20. And yes, that intro, I am a little sick. I'm not feeling so great right now. My throat is not feeling so good, so I apologize if I am not projecting my voice and I sound a little mouse-ish, but hopefully I'll get better. It could just be allergies, because my allergies here in Sacramento are just very, very bad. But anyway, this is our 20th episode. I'm excited. 20 is a nice number to get going. Not many people make it past the teens, so I feel like I've graduated one step. You know, there's a couple landmarks in podcasting. I think it's like past 7, past 20, past 50, 100. And then from there on, you're just basically, you know, you're set. You're considered a podcaster for life, basically. But anyway, in this episode, I am going to be going over how to progress your solo piano playing. Because now at this point, I've given you guys enough information to have some sort of a foundation. So if you've gone through all the different steps, if you've gone through the chords, the inversions, the voice leading, the triads, the seventh chords, how to read the charts, you should now have some sort of facility at your fingertips. So you should be able to open to a jazz standard. And again, we haven't gone over all the chords or anything like that, but you should be able to open to a jazz standard and be able to kind of play it depending upon how much you've learned your chords. And again, you'll start to see the better you can learn your harmonies, the easier it's going to be to start playing pieces, because harmonies is really what holds people back the most. You know, all my students or anyone I teach, it's because they don't learn the harmonies in both hands well enough to actually play the chords. Because when you're in that situation where you're playing, it's incredible how quickly you need to jump from chord to chord. And if you don't know, you know, an F sharp 7 chord or an A minor 7 chord well enough, then you're not going to be able to grab that chord in time to make it correspond to the melody. So, one of the best things you can do always is just learn your chords very, very well. You know, just practice your chords over and over and over again, both hands, right? Practice them in your left hand, practice them in your right hand. So, I'm going to try and progress the solo playing, because we went over the blues in the last episode, but a couple episodes back, I was going over how to put pieces together, so how to flip to a piece after we learned our 7 chords and go and just play it. So these little tips are going to make your solo playing sound that much better if you're at a piano at your house or, you know, wherever you're playing just by yourself. It's going to enhance your solo piano playing. There's two different styles, right? There's playing with groups and there's playing by yourself. And so each one is going to require different techniques. And actually, playing with a group is much easier because you don't have to worry about the different components. When you're playing solo piano, you have so many different components you need to worry about and are responsible for, right? You're responsible for the bass notes, the roots. You're responsible for the harmonies. You're responsible for the rhythm. You're responsible for the melody. You're basically responsible for everything. It's just you. You're the only person playing. So when people are, you know, if you're teaching someone how to play piano, when I'm teaching someone how to play piano, and I say, will you ever be interested in playing in a group? And they're like, they get this shot, you know, face of terror in their, you know, just on their face. And actually, in my head, it's, you know, I'm just like, well, it's a lot easier. So if you guys are ever interested in playing in a group, it's a lot easier. And we'll get to group playing soon, but I'm going to do this podcast on how to advance your solo playing. So let's get into it. Oh, sorry. First off, the podcast is connected to the website, www.jazzplschool.com. Excuse my sniffling. If you haven't been there yet, I really encourage you to do so. I'm really excited right now for a couple reasons, because I just met with a branding consultant, and he has a great company called Dreambox Creative, and he helps people put their vision into you know, brand their vision, creates website. He has a full team that does everything, you know, creates a platform for people's vision, their companies, redesigns everything. And so he is going to take the website I've created and really kind of align the brand and deliver a clear message to everybody and just really take it to that next professional level. So I'm really excited for that. And he's going to do a great job. And he's actually a jazz pianist himself. And so I was teaching him for a long time, and he really enjoyed the methods that I was using. And so I told him about my vision, and now we've partnered together. I'm still paying him, but it's not free. His services are very expensive. And so he is going to help me with the site. So I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a complete makeover probably. And then also I'm excited because I will be getting a new piano, right? You guys won't have to hear this crappy keyboard anymore, right, of these plastic notes in when I play this. So it's not a great piano, but it's free. So hey, right, why not? I'll gladly take a free piano. Way, way better than playing my keyboard. And so that way, too, I'll be able to film my course videos and have a piano for you guys to listen to on the podcast, which will be just worlds better, right? So much richer in the sound. I'll need to figure out how to mic it, you know, so it's a quality recording for the podcast, and you guys will be able to get so much out of that. But anyway, I can already feel my throat struggling here, so let's get into the podcast. So anyway, we want to progress our solo playing. Now, the way that I had previously mentioned to you guys is melody and chords, right? Just super, super simple melody and chords. If we were playing Autumn Leaves, right, we'd have the melody in the right hand, right, just really easy, and that's it, just melody and chords. And you can definitely get by doing melody and chords, right? You can play any piece, just right hand melody, and your left hand is playing root position seventh chords, like we've talked about. And again, if you guys don't know what seventh chords are, you can go back to the podcast episode and listen to that episode, and you'll figure out how to play all the different types of seventh chords. Not all of them, excuse me, the major ones. I'm going to go over the, I can't use the word major because there is a major seventh chord. So you'll learn how to play the three primary seventh chords, major sevenths, minor sevenths, and dominant sevenths. The other seventh chords, like diminished sevenths, half diminished sevenths, you know, and extensions, things like that. I'm going to be going over those later in the course. But so far, it's just been left-hand chords and right-hand melody. Now, how do we open up our solo playing so it sounds better? Well, we want to break it up into different components, right? You need to understand the different components of a solo piece. So if I'm playing If I Were Belle, let me play just a little bit for you guys so you can kind of hear, you know, more of a solo, what a solo style would sound like, okay? Thank you. I felt like I was playing for myself there. So that is how you'd play a solo piano piece. You know, I didn't go through the head out melody again. I had a couple mistakes in there. I didn't play some parts as well as I could have. But that's basically the bare bones of how you play solo piano. And so I have a lot of different things going on. You hear a lot of different things. I have my melody in my right hand. I need to support my melody with harmonies. So we need to have chords in there. So sometimes I had chords, and depending upon where I was placing my chord, I always had those harmonies backing up. And it doesn't need to be every single beat or every single bar. And that's the great thing about solo piano is you can't get all of it in at the same time. But you want to be aware of what you're playing. The other thing I had is bass notes, right? These bass notes down here. And those need to be in there just because they hold down the, you know, it's the root. It's the root of the harmony. So you get that nice, rich, low end in my crappy keyboard. Well, it's not that bad of a keyboard. It's a Yamaha P200, but it just doesn't come out too well in recordings. But anyway, you hear that nice low end on the piano, and that helps support the harmonies. And a lot of times I hear my students play, and all I hear would be this, right? I'd hear. And now that's great, right? If you're playing with a group and the bass player is walking down here, right? Right? That's fine. But if you're playing by yourself, you can't just have your left hand up in this middle register. You need to drum your left hand down, because you're missing a whole component of the song is those rich roots that are upholding the melody and the harmonies. Okay, so two things I've talked about first is left-hand chords. We'll get into that more in a second. I'm gonna go into each concept more in detail after I explain them. The left-hand bass notes, wow, I'm so sick. I have a lisp going. I need to slow down here. So left-hand chords, left-hand bass notes. Now the rhythms, we also need to keep the time somehow. And we can do that two ways. We can do that with the melody, right? And just hold our chords down. Right? So the melody is keeping that rhythm going. Or in the breaks, we can emphasize the melody as well during the space emphasize the rhythm in the spaces of the melody. So we might have. Right, you guys heard me play that a lot, right? So I'm emphasizing the beat. It's keeping that rhythm. It's like it's a conversation. The melody was stated, and then I have my conversation going down here. Right? So you want to somehow just, you know, emphasize the melody in some way through the playing. And it can be through the bass notes, it can be through your left-hand chords, it can be through a double-handed thing, whatever. I'm going to try and make it as simple as possible today, though, so that you can just take your solo piano playing to one step further. So let's just go over the roots first, okay? Because we haven't talked about that yet. We have talked about the left-hand chords. Now, our roots, our bass notes are very easy. You don't need to walk a bass line. You know, that you don't need to do that. You'll get to that point. But all you can do, and Oscar Peterson does this great, my first jazz piano inspiration, is that he'll just play like at the beginning of solo. It's such a great texture. He'll just hold the low bass notes down while his right hand solos. So it sounds something like this. Thank you. right, so all I was doing there is just holding 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4. Now you can just do that with a melody too and it'll sound great, right? And just all you're doing is playing bass notes, and it gives such a nice low end rich texture that it's all you need. So I'd recommend any piece you want to play, just play those bass notes and you can just hold them there, like Autumn Leaves, right? I'm just playing bass notes, left hand. Just whole note bass notes. So you want to practice any piece you play with your bass notes, where you're just going 2 3 4 1 2 3 4. So those are my quarter note, right? 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 1 2 3 4 1 2. And you want to play through the entire piece with just holding whole notes in your left hand. Now if there's two chords per bar, then obviously you're going to have half notes. So 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 1 2 3, right? So if you have two chords per bar, you have half notes. But if you have one chord per bar, then you have whole notes. And then hopefully you know the melody excuse me, well enough that you can put the two together. If you don't know the melody well enough, don't put the two together yet though, because you want to be able to play it without really thinking. So you're only put your two hands together when you know them well enough. But so practice the melody separately, left hand bass notes separately, and then you can start to put them together. All right. Now let's talk about our left hand chords again for a sec, because all I talked about was root position chords. Now root position chords are great, and it's good to start off with, but they're not always going to be, you know, the best type of chord to play when you're playing solo piano. Or with a group, excuse me. Oh, my phone's going off in the background, sorry. Forgot to turn that off. Anyway, so with your left-hand chords, you want to omit sometimes either the third and fifth, and you just play one and seven. Now I'm going to give you guys a little tip right now. The shells of a chord are the third and seventh, so they're the very most important notes of the chord. I wouldn't say most important, but they dictate the quality of the chord, so they are very important. So if you take like a C major 7, now if I change the B to a B flat, it's going to be a different type of chord, right? Dominant. If I change the E to an E flat, it's going to be a minor, right? So it's changing the quality of the chord, and that's why those shells are important, the third and the seventh. So as I'm playing, if I were a bell, you want to be conscious of where your hand is placing your chord. So, because I have a G7 to start off with, if I place my hand, on the G right below middle C, right here, it's going to run into my melody as I'm playing my melody, right? So my thumbs are going to run into each other. So I can't really get away with playing the chord there. So thus, I need to drop it down an octave. Now, if I play my chord down here, that's kind of low, right? The lower you get with lots of harmonies, the muddier it's going to sound. So you don't want to play dense four-note chords below, like I was talking about before, below like this F here, like F2, right? And even that's getting a little bit low. So what you can do, though, on the other hand, is you can take your G7 chord, you can omit, right? You can leave out the B and the D and just play the 1 and 7, okay? Now, if you're asking yourself, well, what about the 3rd and the 5th? Well, you can add the 3rd in later. So you can go, hear that, right? So I played 1 and 7, and then I just lifted my hand and went up to the B. Now this is great where the videos will come in, and the video course will be great for you guys because you can actually see my hand lifting. You just have to envision it right now. So I'm playing. Do you see that? So I play 1 and 7, and then I just jump up to the 3rd. And because your ear is still hearing the 1 and 7, it combines the sounds together. And since the time is going by, you're moving in a forward motion, then your ear is simply hearing just that forward motion of the harmonies. So I went 1 and 7, jumped up to 3, and then played 1 and 7 of the C7. Now here, since because of that C3 is closer to the middle C, I can actually add the third here. So now I'm playing 1, 3, and 7, and I'm taking the 5 out. And again, if the chord is high enough, like this position, the chord is high enough, so I could add the 5. But again, you got to be careful of those 4-note chords, because if you place those 4-note chords too low, they're going to get really dense. So all you really need in the chord is the 1, 3, and 7. And that's going to give you, you know, the true qualities of a chord. Okay, the fifth is more of just like a root type texture. So it really kind of complements the root. So as long as you have the root in there, then you don't really need the fifth, but you can add it as well. So here we go again. We have the G7 jumping up to the third, and then going to 1, 3, and 7 in the C7. Now this is over If I Were a Bell. So the changes are G7, C7, F major. It's like a 2-5-1 to begin with. So, this is what it sounds like. Now on that F major, because it's pretty low, I just use 1 and 7. Now here's a little tip too, right? On the F major. So since I use 1 and 7, we can look to jump to 1 and 3, just like I was talking about. But now, here's a really good tip. If your right hand is close to the third, you can use your right hand to play the third under the melody. So as I'm coming down, so here's the G7. So my A is jumping down to C, right? This middle C. And then, again, this is hard to visualize, guys. But now I have A, which is the third of the F major 7 chord, available to my thumb on my right hand. So I create this nice texture, and I'm outlining, so I have the F major 7, but it's voiced like this, 1-7-3 instead of 1-3-7, and then I have the melody note on top. So it creates a nice spread out open voicing. So sometimes instead of using your left hand to jump from 1 and 7 to 3, you can play the third with your right hand as long as it's underneath the melody note. Make sure the third isn't on top of the melody note, because it will get rid of the melody. Alright, so for your left hand chords, a couple of things to pay attention to. I'm just going to revisit this, review it. So, you can play your full left hand root position voicings, but if they're low, you want to take out the fifth and possibly the third, okay, depending upon how low it is. So you can get away with playing 1 and 7. And again, I would say your 1 and 7 should be probably like G2, F2, and then below. And I might even start playing bass notes. Again, you're going to get to a point where you can't even play 1 and 7 because it's too low. You just need to play bass notes. So you'll get a feel for that range, right? For the bass note range, the 1 and 7 range, and then the full. Again, the quality full root position chords really start at C3. I can play any sort of C chord there with a full root position chord. But below that, it's going to be more 1, 3, and 7 for like a couple whole steps. And then as I get to F2, it's going to be like 1 and 7 I want to use there. Still 1 and 7 on like the E flat or D, right? Here's 1 and 7, E flat, 1 and 7, 1 and 7. This is it's getting a little low now for 1 and 7. So I'd probably just use a bass note there, right? So you want to feel out where the 1 and 7s work best, where the 1, 3s and 7s work best, and where the full root position chords work best. Because you can use any of that. Right, and you can just map it out in your piece. If you're playing a piece, just right above the chords, just say left hand 1 and 7, or left hand 1, 3, and 7, and that way you'll know that's all you're going to play on that chord. All right. Now, when do we play bass notes? You can play bass notes whenever you want. You can play bass notes in the beginning of the piece, the middle, and what I was doing, and eventually you'll do as well, is interchanging them. So you're playing bass notes and chords, and that's what I want to talk about. You can obviously use your bass note texture to play all the way through the piece, right? But you can, but that will get a little boring. You know, you're just playing all bass notes, right? But if I keep going like that, it sounds good in the beginning, but if I keep going like that, you know, it's not going to sound that great. So how do we interchange bass notes and chords? Well, how you want to practice this is you want to play for two bars, you want to separate your bass notes and chords. So for two bars, you're going to say, or even longer, you can say for four bars, I'm going to play bass notes. And then for the next four bars, I'm going to play chords, right? So let me try that. So here's bass notes. Okay, that was four bars. Now I have chords. And then I go back to bass notes, right? And then I go back to chords, sorry. So you're switching, you're getting comfortable switching between bass notes and chords, right? And that helps you slowly, and you can do longer, guys. You can do 8 bars of bass notes in 8 bars. I mean, and I really want you guys to practice all the way through with both first. So you want to practice all the way through the bass notes, all the way through the chords, but then you start to combine them. So you practice maybe 8 bars of bass notes in melody, and then 8 bars of chords in melody. Then we start to close the gap. So let me see. I just did 4 bars. So now I'm going to do 2 bars, and I'm going to switch back and forth between 2 bars, okay? So here's bass notes first. Chord, right? This is measure 3. And then I have bass notes again. Chord, right? Back to bass notes. That should have been chord there, but sometimes it's a little tough, right? Because you'll have a quick progression, like those progressions are really quick. Right? So you're switching back and forth between bass notes and chords. And then you get to a point. So finally, we just did 2 bars. Now I'm going to do 1 bar, right? And I'm going to slow it down just a little bit. Hopefully, I won't make mistakes either, right? So. I did make a mistake right on the first bar. Sorry. Sorry. So again, it's challenging for me. It's even challenging for me because doing it systematically like that doesn't really fit the piece, okay? So you can definitely practice it like that, but there's different components of the piece that are going to lend themselves to bass notes and to chords. And so those different points, for example, are when you have fast moving progressions, right? When you have a chord per beat, or when you have a lot of fast-moving chords, you're not going to try and play one instance. You're not going to try and jump your left hand over. You know, it's just easier to go right with 4 bass notes, basically, rather than going with all, you know, something like that, playing left hand 1 and 7s all over the place, right? And the same thing with the harmonies. You know, sometimes it's better to play chords if you just have a whole note chord, right? That's just sitting there, you know, it's nice to play those harmonies and let those harmonies ring out rather than just have one note ringing out. So different parts in the piece are going to lend themselves better to bass notes and better to chords. And you'll really be able to hear that. You know, once you start getting comfortable with the bass note and chord relationship and switching them up, you know, you'll really start to feel where you should place a chord and where you should place a bass note. But for now, practice it systematically. Practice switching every 8 bars, practice switching every 4 bars, every 2 bars, and then every 1 bar, okay? And then eventually, what's like kind of playing like a stride style is you can combine them together in the same bar. So for that first measure of all G7, I can play a bass note for 2 beats and then jump up to the chord. Bass note and jump up to the chord. So. Right, so you guys hear that? I'll play just the left hand alone. So 1, 2, chord, 4. And again, for my chord, I'm just using 1 and 7. Here's my C bass note. 1, 2, 1, 3, and 7. I'm adding a third now. And then finally, bass note. 1, 2, 3, 4. And again, that's low, so I have 1 and 7 there. Okay, so here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you start to hear that. You start to hear that stride style develop out of that, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. So let me play that with a melody now. Okay. So now you have bass note and chord in the same measure. And that will take a while, I understand, but that's what you're trying to work up to. You can start to kind of mess around with it. So my suggestion to you is to go through your piece and map out where you kind of want to play bass notes, where it's going to sound best to play bass notes, where it's going to sound best to play 1 and 7, where it's going to sound best to play full root position chords, 1, 3, 5, and 7, and where it might just sound best to have like a just your whole note bass notes, right? That texture is going to sound great too. And so when you start to combine that, it's really going to really advance your playing to the next level. You're getting more of those components in. And for right now, you're just focusing on placing these components on beat one. You know, I don't want to give you anything more advanced than that. You can, you know, place chords on upbeats. You can place bass notes on upbeats, you know. You know, all this different stuff. But right now, you beat one, right? That's like your home. That's your go-to. That's all you need to focus on. So either bass note on beat one or chord on beat one. And same thing if you want to go to beat three, if you're courageous and you want to play a bass on beat one and a chord on beat three, that's it. But all just downbeats, right, for now. Now, the last thing I'm going to talk about is rhythms and articulation. So when I play a chord, I can play a 1 and 7 as like this, or I can play it like this, right, as a pop. Now, listen to the difference if I'm popping my chords or I'm just playing holding 1 and 7s. Okay, I'll play it with the melody. Okay, now here's the pop. Okay, it's completely different, right? Same thing with the bass notes. Listen to the bass notes, okay? I'll hold them first. And just for you, if you guys like know, I'm taking some liberties with the melody right now, just so you know. So I'm not playing the melody exactly as written. Like once you know the melody very well, you'll tend to kind of phrase it however you would like. And not to say you should do that all the time, because a lot of these pieces fit with certain lyrics. So if you're phrasing them differently than the lyrics, you're kind of changing the piece. But just to say, it's, you know, it's jazz, so you can take liberties on the melody. But so I played the bass notes long, right? Okay, now so this is what it sounds like as the bass notes are short. Right, completely different. So the texture I want you guys to focus on just for now is short and long. Two different textures that's really going to open up a whole difference of playing in your style. And you're with those short pops, you know, that's what jazz is all about. It's that those hits, you know. When you just hold those chords down, it's more like classical, right? Not to say that classical doesn't have short hits, but the rhythmic style of jazz is like a nice swing. It's light, you know, it's got those ba ba ti ba 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 do da. It's a combination of both, really. But you want to practice both, so I'd recommend practicing both styles. You know, play your bass notes long and then practice them short. So go through the piece with just bass notes long. Right? I was just soloing. I didn't feel like playing the melody anymore. And then go through them short. Whoops, sorry. I really love the sound of the short ones. So go through them long, go through them short, and then combine them, okay? Right, so the different textures in long and short are gonna mean such a huge difference. And so many people forget that these simple textures will already start to advance their playing. Like, you don't need more licks. You don't need more cool voicings. You don't need more extensions. It's just like, think about these contrasting textures and how you can use them and just, you know, get back to that place of just simplifying and using those to make music. So you take that texture now, the short and long texture, and use it for your chords, okay? So that was my long texture, right? And then you do short. Okay, so and then you start to combine them, right? Once you get comfortable with both, you start to combine them. I added a bass note. Sorry, guys. Okay, so really have fun. You know, I just started having fun there. I wanted to keep going. Have fun with these textures, the long and short, and you can really start to do some great things. And again, just playing the melody. You know, I was improvising there, and we'll get to improvising and all that good stuff. But just have fun with these short textures, and you can really start to advance your playing to the next level beyond the basics of just playing left-hand root position chords and right-hand melody. Okay? So let me review just quickly for you guys before I end the episode. So again, bass notes, we want to start to incorporate bass notes. Okay, we want to start to incorporate our left hand 1 and 7 in the appropriate range. So you don't always need 1, 3, 5, and 7. So you can take out the 3rd and 5. Now if you take out the 3rd and 5, look to maybe add a 3rd. But not necessarily all the time do you have to. Okay, but you can jump up your hand, right? Jump up your left hand to that 3rd if you want. All right, so left hand chords, your bass notes, then you want to look to combine them, right? So however you can start to combine them, you do it systematically, practice both for a couple bars, and you start to intertwine them for 4 bars and switch back and forth every, you know, specific number of measures. The next thing to do is practice with your short and long, your rhythmic ideas with those textures. So bass notes short and long, left hand chords short and long, and then you start to combine them both, bass notes and the chords, both using short and long. Okay? So there's a lot here to practice, right? There's a lot here to get into in the solo piano style. Now again, this is very advanced. You know, it's just taking your and that's why a lot of people can't really play solo piano well, because there's just so much stuff going on. A lot of people in the jet, you know, in playing with a group, you just have your left hand chords, you're just comping. And that's it, and your right hand soloing, right? So, that's it, guys. I hope this episode has helped. My voice is shot. I hope I didn't destroy myself. but thank goodness it's Friday tomorrow. So that's all I got to say. So if you guys are looking for more, you can go to the website, www.jazzpianoschool.com. Also Facebook, guys. I forgot to mention this. If you go to Facebook, jazzpianoschool.com, excuse me, wow, I'm so used to saying that website. If you go to facebook.com/jazzpianoschool, you'll see a lot of more background information into my life, posting a lot of pictures and things like that, inspirational quotes. It's just a whole different genre. Same with Instagram. I have a tip of the day that I've started, lick of the day, excuse me. So on Instagram, Jazz Piano School, you'll get the lick of the day. And also if you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, you'll get the lick of the day there and some other goodies. You know, like I uploaded a lot of different stuff to YouTube and Instagram. So Twitter as well, right? I'm on all platforms. So however you choose to follow me is completely up to you. But you can find me on all those different platforms. And it's different content on each one, so it's a nice change from what you're used to. If you guys, thank you so much to the people who are listening to this who left the last 2 5-star ratings, you know who you are because it's gone up 2 since the last podcast. So thank you so much. I'm talking directly to you right now. I really appreciate it. Again, guys, I always wake up in the morning and I check my email. I check my podcast 5-star reviews. So thank you. And I loved seeing, it just made my day today. I had 2 extra ones. Usually it's maybe 1 extra one or 0. And I was like, 2. I was so excited. So, and I can't fake this, right? I have a huge smile on my face right now. So literally, when you guys leave a 5-star rating, not even a review, you can just leave a rating. It makes me so happy and I appreciate it so much. So thank you very much. That's it, guys. I'm doing a lot of work right now. Getting the website going, getting the podcast going, the blog, just everything's coming together. I'm super excited. Eric Reed's going to be on the podcast June 4th, my old teacher. So I'm super, super excited to have him. Played with Wynton Marsalis for a long time. Just amazing. You guys should check out those albums if you haven't already. He has a lot of leader albums out, and he's been on the Sidemen like on every, like on everyone's album. He's been a Sidemen, a pianist. So he is phenomenal. Highly recommend checking him out. He taught me so much. I'm also getting Aaron Goldberg on the show as well. I've come across Aaron. He's actually from my hometown, and I studied with him a little bit as well, and he's a phenomenal player. He's on tour with Joshua Redman right now, so he's going to be on the podcast, and I'm just going to keep getting them, you know? There's no stopping, guys. I'm just super motivated. I'm super pumped to put this educational material out there, and just because there's nothing else like this going on right now, I'm really, really excited to have this. It helps me, too. You know, I learn so much in the process. It's fun to teach. It's fun to help you guys, and it's fun to talk to these great players, and I can really just see myself, you know, just getting more pianists on here who have been playing on the jazz scene forever. So again, the way you guys can give back to me, just give a 5-star rating. That's it. That's all I need back from you. I don't need money. I don't need anything else. Just 5-star rating on the podcast, and that's awesome. That's your appreciation back to me. Okay, I think I've talked enough for being sick. So as always, guys, happy practicing, and I hope you have a great day.